Welcome to Amherst Baptist. You may be seated. Glad to have you all with us this morning. If you are a guest with us this morning, you're in for a special treat. This is what we refer to as a celebration Sunday. So the message will be trimmed down. That's not the treat, necessarily. But there'll be a shorter message and more time for us to spend time together as a family in prayer for one another, sharing testimonies with one another. And so, Sam, I'm going to invite you to come on down and just come on down and be here for a minute. And Sam's going to share about a mission trip he was on, but I see the ushers have already come forward, so let's deal with that as well this morning as we open our time celebrating and submitting ourselves to what God wants to do in our lives. Let's pray for this offering. As I said, we're going to spend some time this morning in testimonies, so if you have something, in these past couple weeks we've been talking about the joy of repentance. And last week I started out by asking you, how's your joy? And so that's the question again this week, how's your joy? And we'd love to have you be able to share maybe something that's been going on in these past couple weeks, how God's been at work, moving in your life, and how you'd like to share that with your family that we'd be encouraging to one another. And so Sam was on a trip to Florida. He's going to tell us a little bit about that and share how God's moved in his life and brought him joy.
And I thought to myself, you know what, I think I can reach out to these people. So I asked them if they watch battle rap, and they were all like, yeah, we love battle rap and stuff like that. So I told them, well, I'll make a deal with you. If I rap for you, will you listen to what I have to say? And then I rapped for them, and they were like, surprised. And then like they were like, okay, yeah, we'll listen to what you have to say. And you know, I told them about the gospel. Most of them grew up in church, and I told them that I asked them, if you died tonight, would you go to heaven? And a lot of them were like, you know, I don't know. I think I have to get right with God and all this stuff. And then I explained to him that I had the misconception once that I thought that I had to earn my way into heaven. I thought I have done so much wrong my whole life that I have to make up for it. Like the feather of Mott, if you're familiar with that. I'm not going to get into that. But anyway, what I realized after, you know, a couple months back in the church is that it's not our works that saves us, but it's our belief in God. And our belief in God only. But what I do believe is it's your works that brings you joy in this world. It's you doing what God's calling you to do that fulfills that emptiness inside you. So, and then when I told that to them, they seemed to be in agreement with it. I don't know if they pondered upon what I said, if they meditated in the deeper thought about it afterwards. I hope they did, but it seemed to have gone well. And then they asked me to rap for them again before he left, and then, you know, I did, and then prayed for them, and it went pretty well.
So you can pray for Sam as he goes back to his next mission trip on UB campus, right? Or as he participates in Crew. Jason and Rose are part of Crew Ministries. It's college-based, and International Bridges is part of that overall ministry as well. We're also part of the North American Mission Board. In support of the Annie Armstrong, or the Annie Armstrong Easter offering is in support of the North American Mission Board, if you will. We have a video this morning telling another story about one of those ministries and missions that we support as part of that. It's part of our Southern Baptist effort in the North American region. So again, the Annie Armstrong Easter offering is our annual offering received at Easter time. To support North American missions, and every dollar goes to the field. All the overhead costs are covered through other things, so if you give a dollar, it goes to support someone like this fella in Minneapolis, or someone like the folks we've talked about at in Madison, Wisconsin, or wherever else it might be. And so we invite you. There's an envelope in your bulletin today for you to take home with you. Pray about that, how you would give, if you would give, whatever God calls you to do. We invite you to be part of that. So I want to take a moment now to have some time to pray together. We haven't done this recently. It needs to be more part of who we are as a family. And so I invite you, give an opportunity for folks to share maybe a couple prayer concerns as well, but we know we've got several. Melanie Glover still is in High Point at Michigan, recovering from the surgery that she had, or the stroke she had following surgery 3 years ago. Was it this week? Or it's been about 3 years, almost to the day. Or in a couple weeks, it will be 3 weeks, 3 years. We've got folks, Elaine's hurt her knee And so she's recovering from that. And we've got others who are in various situations. The Laganors, Jerry is continuing to recover from his back surgery. That's actually better, but he had problems with his knee, and there's still pain with that. So each situation, you know of more than I do. And so just a couple minutes. Does anyone have a prayer concern they'd like to share with the church family? Brian, please.
I just want to thank that I'll be moving soon, but not sure yet when I'll be moving to Binghamton. But it's in the process that I'll be moving close to my family and going to their church. And I just want to thank God that I'm here with my family today.
Great. Thanks, Brian.
This winter has been a very sad winter for us. We've lost several family members. But it brought to mind something we pray about all the time, because so many things are unexpected in our lives. Other times we can look and we can say, well, he's in his 80s and he's lived a wonderful life, and we expected that because he'd been ill. Other things happen so quickly. And in all of that, I have, and probably you have, several family members that just do not know the love of Jesus Christ. How do we reach them? Well, we have to live it in front of them, but we don't always see them. Our prayer life is so powerful and so important that I'm just reaching out all of you to remember your family, your friends, your neighbors that we take for granted. The person that we see every week behind the bank counter or Wegmans or Walmart, we don't know their lives. We don't know who we're sitting next to in church. We don't know what each of our families is going through. We have to be discerning in what we choose as important issues in our lives. But one of the surest for me is that I don't forget not just the blessings, but those that need more blessing because of their lack of their knowledge of the Lord Jesus.
Thanks. Okay, we're also aware of folks who are in the process of looking for new jobs. We've also got other health issues mixed in with our church family. We've got upcoming events. In a couple weeks, we're going to have the IF conference. Colleen's going to talk about that in a few minutes, but I would invite you now, let's stand up, move, and pray for somebody. You know, like I said, you probably know more issues than I do. You know of a specific circumstance with somebody. It doesn't need to be shared, probably shouldn't be shared, or perhaps, but you know of something, and so go and stand next to that person and pray for them. And the person you're praying for, they might be up praying for somebody else. You know, follow them around. Go find them and pray for those folks, that we would be, as a family, really interconnected, praying for one another, for the issues that are on our hearts, for the issues that are part of our lives. We've been talking about joy. Some aspect of joy comes from the unity of the body of Christ. And so I invite you, take a few minutes now, and in a few minutes I will pray, and that will kind of tell us we're done. But if you would, and I know if you're a guest with us this morning, that might seem a little awkward. I invite you to, where you are perhaps, just consider what God has done in your life to bring you here this morning. What is he doing? What is he trying to reach you with? That we would all be mindful of God's work in our lives. So I'll stop talking so you can get up and move. Pray for someone, some issue, some ministry, some health care, some employment issue as you see fit. Let's pray. As you continue in your prayers, I invite the worship team to come back up front as we're going to go into a couple songs of worship. And as they come, let's pray. Lord God, you know far better than any of us what all these issues are. You're sovereign over all of them. You can resolve them while we just wonder what the right answer is. Lord, help us not to run ahead of you and try to fix things, but to trust you. At the same time, Lord, we pray that we would hear what you'd have us do, that we might be your hands and feet where that's appropriate. Lord, we submit ourselves to you. We surrender ourselves to you. We invite you to direct us to speak words of hope and joy into the lives of those who need comfort. Lord, we pray that you would open our eyes to see what it is you are doing and how you're using these things for your glory. Help us not to miss those things. Lord, we know that Satan would want us to be discouraged. But you are sovereign over all things. We thank you that you love us so much, that even the struggles we go through, when your word says you know the plans you have for us, Lord, those plans might include some stresses and tests and trials. We pray that you deepen our faith, that we would trust you even through the darkest, even through the deepest, even through the valley of shadow of death. Lord, we know that you are with us. Your rod and your staff, you comfort us. Lord, may we walk in joy and victory and peace. Bless our time together this morning, Lord. As we sing your praises, may our hearts be fully engaged in recognizing who you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to take a few minutes now, Eric, if you want to grab the other mic. Just opportunity for brief words of testimony, what God has been showing you, where there's joy in your life, what you want to share with your church family of how he's been moving. And I know that's a hard thing to get started, so I'm going to get it started by asking Colleen to talk about the IF conference, and in particular, share a little bit about what it's meant to you in preparing it.
Good morning, church family. We're less than 2 weeks away from IFT Amherst, and I'm really excited. Every day I look and there's a few more ladies registered. It brings me a lot of joy to know that this time will be a time of connection for the ladies in our church, as well as ladies outside the church. I know some of you are still on the fence. I totally get it. And maybe part of it is because of the title. And part of it because I've been so engrossed in it, I understand what IF means. But I apologize if I have not been really clear. And what? What's the deal with the name IF? So I want to share that a little bit with you today. The IF Gathering, its founder, Jenny Allen, who's an author and a speaker and just loves Jesus with all her heart, it started with these three words, disciple a generation. And the name IF came from, if God is real, then what? And so the reason that we gather is that we really want to live out what we say we want to believe. We don't just want to say God is real. We want to live in the then what? We want to live out our calling that we have in our lives. We want to come together as a generation of women that are committed to living, if God is real, then what? What does that look like? What would it look like if a generation of women were committed to wholeheartedly serving God and the call that Jesus has in our lives? So if God is real, then we need to live every minute and make it count for the kingdom of God. So the if God is real, then what responses could be endless, but I'll share a few of them that come from our preparation, from our team, and from my heart as well. If God is real, then how do we give him away as we meet and love the people around us? If God is real, then what would it look like if we were committed to loving others, especially when we don't agree? If God is real, what do our lives look like in times of struggle? What does it mean to trust God with all our hearts and gain direction and lean on him for our understanding, not our own understanding, when we really don't understand what's going on? If God is real, then what does it look like for us to live out Ephesians 4, to live lives worthy of the calling that God has on our lives? Before I end, I want to clarify something. This isn't just your annual dose of inspiration, women. Yes, that's part of it, but it's more than that. This conference is really intended to equip us as ladies in the body of Christ to walk where he walks, to love who he loves, and to get serious about the gospel and carrying it out in our lives. So our team is super excited. We are just engrossed in preparing this for you ladies. God just continues to show me over and over again that this is something that can make a change in our church body, in the women, by connecting us together to really be on fire for living out the calling on our lives and also be able to reach out beyond our community. It's equipping us to be able to be disciples who make disciples. And it's really exciting to see people, names appearing on the registration list that I don't know who they are because they found us throughout another church or just through the website to know they're coming, as well as the ladies within our body. I'm really excited that the IF coach for all of New York, her name is Becky Ventry, and she's going to be coming and wrapping up our day as our keynote speaker at the end of the day, and just being able to really share from her heart and from her experience, what it means in times of of we don't know what's going on, and it just doesn't seem like things are going the direction that we would want, what it means to trust God and not lean on our own understanding. So if you have any questions, please feel free to talk to myself, to Laura Gillette, Mary Beth Cahill's not here today, Lisa Gagnon, and several of us who have been preparing. So if you're still on the fence, we hope this pushed you over to the side of registering. It would make a big difference to us if you could register within the next few days, just as we prepare and try to get a handle on numbers and preparation, so you can come find me after. So thank you.
Great, thanks. You can register through our website. There's a link there. Click on that. It's $20 for the day, 9 to 5 on April 13th, Saturday, April 13th, 2 weeks. So invite you, encourage you. It would be a great time for our women to be together. With that, now, is there someone who would like to share a word of testimony? What God has been doing in your lives in these past few weeks in particular that you'd like to share? Jerry, please.
I just wanted to say my husband and I got to go to Costa Rica where my daughter's a full-time missionary, and she's working with prostitutes. That's God's calling on her life. Really cool. So we went and we, you know, saw cloud forests and the beach and all this stuff, but the really coolest thing was we went out with her on the streets one night in San Jose, the downtown city, the capital city of Costa Rica. And it was such a privilege to minister alongside our daughter in one way, but to watch her and her teammates that she was with. I don't even know how to put it all in words, but to really absolutely, honestly, just love people on the street corners, wherever they are, whatever their jobs, whatever they're doing, and just love on them. Just, hey, how you doing today? And how's your son doing? And how's it? Did you find this? And your knee was hurting. And then they'd pray with them. And, you know, do you want a cup of coffee? Do you want a drink? How about some more Oreos? You guys like Oreos, don't you? You know, just awesome. It was, and just to be a part of that. And then to see this miracle, because, and we were driving around street corners trying to find their regular friends on the street. And just so you know, there's the female prostitutes, there's the transvestite prostitutes, there's the transgender prostitutes, and there's the boy prostitutes. So it's quite the arrangement. But they drive around to certain corners and find everybody and their regulars. And they couldn't find this one girl that they wanted to introduce us to, Rachel, and wanted her parents to meet this one lady. But there's this young woman on a street, and they pulled over, and to the leader and this other girl got out and talked to her, and turns out she's out there on the street. She's 18 or 19, 5 months pregnant, kicked out of her house because she's pregnant, has no way to support herself, and because prostitution's legal in Costa Rica, that's an option. So she's on the street and trying to raise money and did not want to be there, did not want to do that. And it turned out they connected with her. They got a phone number. A few days later, they had coffee. A few days later, they went with her to the doctor, to her doctor appointment. Ends up, and about 1 week later, she lost her baby. But they're the ones who took her to the hospital. They're the ones who visited her. When she got out, they were trying to find her an apartment and a place to stay. I mean, just loving on people and trying to make a difference in the name of Jesus. It was so cool. Just so cool to see what God's doing. And he's using my baby girl. So that's a joy.
Very cool. Thank you. Eric, could you pray for Rachel?
Yeah, Lord, we lift up Rachel to you right now. We know it's just her birthday, and we just ask that you would encourage her and lift her up, Lord God, and her station of life there in Costa Rica. We thank you, Lord God, that the team there has been infused with your love, and we pray, Lord God, that love would just keep on being poured into them so that it could gush out of them. We pray for that country and for that capital city, Lord God. And we pray, Lord God, for your loving kindness to be poured out upon them and upon those ladies, upon those men, Lord God, particularly ones that they are ministering to. And I pray, Lord God, that you would encourage them to keep their hand to the plow and encourage them to keep on keeping their face towards you. I pray this in your name. Amen.
Amen. Anyone else have a word of testimony they'd like to share?
We just sang about the refiner's fire, and the refiner's fire is not a pleasant place to be. I have felt many times over the last few years that I have been right in the heart of that fire, many times not understanding at all what God is doing. But lately, the Holy Spirit has been prompting me to memorize scripture. I'm working right now on the 8th chapter of Romans, and I actually started at the end with Romans 8, 28 to 37. 28 and 29 say, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that in all things he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters." This is the answer to my life struggles, that God is conforming me to be the image of his Son. And I am seeing fruit for that these days, and I am just so grateful. God has given me multiple opportunities to witness for him lately. I had a cable guy come to my house the other day to work on television issues, and he was hooking up my VCR and DVD player, and he opened it up to see if there was anything in there, and there was a CD of gospel music. And he said, "Oh, this is old style gospel music." And because of where he took the conversation, I was able to present the entire plan of salvation to Joe. And, you know, it's just such a huge blessing to me to be able to tell people about the love of Jesus Christ and to get outside of myself and realize that God is growing me and using me. And my prayer is that every day I will be more and more like him.
I'll give you another chance in just a moment. We just have a couple announcements to share with you as a family. Out on the wall or on the brick wall here to the right, there's a sign for Allegheny Family Camp. Next fall, Labor Day weekend, there's a chance for the several families are going to go down to Allegheny Camp. You can sign up to have a cabin. They are bunk beds. You have to make up, you know, have to make do, but they are bunk beds. Love to have you be part of that. There are several families already signed up. There are a few cabins still available. I believe it's $150 for 3 days. You go down Friday, come back Monday of Labor Day weekend. That includes meals and so forth. So it's a great deal for a short little weekend together as a family. So I invite you to be part of that. Another issue from within our ministry, you know, we have the New Beginnings Food Pantry. With the new law relative to plastic bags, we've been using plastic bags through the food pantry for a long time, and now there's going to become a shortage of them, perhaps. And so if you have that bag of bags at home, Carol would love to have them. So anything you might have, any stash of inventory that you could bring along would be helpful for the food pantry. Likewise, if you've got those kind of reusable canvas bags and so forth that we could pass along to the clients of the food pantry, they may or may not bring them back next time, but if they're just sitting in your closet, perhaps they could be better used in the food pantry. Lastly for now, 2 weeks from today is the 14th of April. That will be our next family business meeting. We've got lots to talk about, things going on, and as we work through what we're doing today and tonight, I'll talk about that in just a minute, that business meeting will be a great time for us to huddle up again and talk about what God is doing among us and what he would have us do. So, one last chance for any testimony. What God is doing in your life, where he's bringing you joy.
How about another prayer request? I'll try to make this through. We met some friends last summer, Todd and Lori, and they work along with Tom in his Edward Jones position, but in Rochester. And we met them yesterday, so they've just been on our hearts. They've been going through some really difficult things, and if you would lift them up. Todd's father passed last year. Todd fell, punctured his lung, was diagnosed with ALS, and Lori has breast cancer and needs a double mastectomy soon. This is all within relatively maybe less than 6 months. Just been blasted, and as well, her mom may have another bout of cancer in her hip. So Todd, Lori, and they have two young children, Zach and Natalie. So just appreciate your prayers.
So pray for Todd and Lori. Father, we just thank you, Father, for the witness that Dean and Tom could bring to the situation. We ask you, Father, for your peace, Lord, that passes understanding in this seemingly so terrible situation for both of them, and yet they have a little child also that's involved in all of this. So, Father, we just ask that for your hands of protection and healing be upon them. May they focus upon Jesus as the source of all their strength, all their healing that they need. We ask you, Lord, for comfort, Lord, even in this time. We don't know what the situation is, how this is all going to end, Lord. But, Father, we depend upon you to show the light, Lord, and the reason, and give them the strength to be able to endure through all this. We ask you, Father, for your hedge of protection around them, your peace upon them. And, Father, we boldly ask you, Lord, for a healing upon such a devastating disease as ALS, Lord, and breast cancer, Lord. So, Father, we need your touch, Lord, upon each of their lives, Lord. Minister to them, Lord, and protect them, Lord. And glorify yourself through all of this. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I want to take just a few minutes. These past couple weeks, we've had this focus on the joy of repentance. I was trying to keep that light, the joy at the end of this, but repentance has that weight at times, the sorrow for sin and so forth. And so last week, if you were here and or you received the email, Pastor Eric put out an email suggesting that during the week we would meet several times for prayer, and then tonight we would have what's called a solemn assembly. And so there were several times during this week where we gathered here in the front of the sanctuary, sometimes a few, sometimes more, to prepare our hearts. And I trust many of you did that on your own time, in your own place, but we gathered here as well, including last evening we were here. But the solemn assembly, what is that? Why would we do such a thing? And so I wanted to give you just a little background on what a solemn assembly is, so you'd understand some idea of where this comes from, and know that you are invited, encouraged. It is desired. We plead with you to join us tonight at 6 o'clock, and I'll tell you a little bit about that in a minute. The solemn assembly in the Old Testament, all the festivals, like the Feast of Booths and the Festival of Tabernacles, there would be several days of celebration, and then the last day was called a solemn assembly, and they'd gather together, and it was, we use the term solemn, it's out of certain translations, sacred assembly, solemn assembly, and generally we think of solemn as, oh, it's so low, you know, it's solemn, it's quiet, and that is a proper understanding of solemn assembly, but the solemn assembly was also a festival, it was also a celebration of what God was doing, and so I don't want to, in the same way we don't want to talk about repentance as it's always this weight upon us. A solemn assembly is not this weight upon us. It's an opportunity for us to gather as a family and pursue what God would have us do. So all these festivals ended with a solemn assembly or sacred assembly. In addition, there were a few special ones called. In the time of Joel, the prophet Joel, there was an extreme, extreme famine. And the locusts came, and they ate everything. And what the locusts didn't eat, the next wave of locusts ate, until there was absolutely nothing. And so the people were called together. In Joel chapter 1, verse 14, it says, "Announce a sacred fast, proclaim an assembly. Gather the elders and all the residents of the land at the house of the Lord your God, and cry out to the Lord." And then again in chapter 2, it says, "Blow the horn in Zion, announce a sacred fast, proclaim an assembly. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation. Assemble the aged, gather the children, even those nursing at the breast. Let the groom leave his bedroom and the bride her honeymoon chamber." This is important for us to do. Even if you are celebrating your wedding, it's time. We should all be together on this. Okay, and so that's what we're kind of doing. We're saying we've looked at repentance, and shouldn't we gather ourselves and celebrate together and pursue God? When they did this in Joel, God heard. He promised to restore the years the locust had eaten. We're not in an extreme fast, or extreme famine, excuse me, but are we where we're supposed to be? Are we as fruitful as we should be? Is there something missing? Are we where God wants us to be? We want to know the answer to that question, and so we're going to have a solemn assembly this evening. At the dedication of the temple that Solomon built, it says, "At that time Solomon assembled the elders of Israel, all the tribal heads and the ancestral leaders of the Israelites before him at Jerusalem in order to bring the Ark of the Lord's Covenant from the city of David. And they took the Ark into this newly built temple, and the glory of God came into the temple so that the priests weren't even able to minister anymore. because they called an assembly and said, let's do this as a family. Let's go see what God would have us do. And God showed up. After the exiles had been hauled away to Babylon, when they returned, they rebuilt the temple and they rebuilt the walls and they had a solemn assembly. And Ezra, the priest, was reading scripture. And Nehemiah 8 tells us that Ezra read the scripture and he and others explained the law to the people as they stood in their places. They read out of the book of the law of God, translating and giving the meaning so that the people could understand what was read. It was a time of celebration. As soon as they started reading the word, they said, hey, we're supposed to be having a festival right now. Stop crying. People were weeping about, oh, the law, we've missed the law. And they said, stop that. This is a time of celebration. We've found the law. We know what God wants us to do. And so they started celebrating the Feast of Booths, which is one of those festivals that ends with a solemn assembly. And so it was a time of celebration. Ezra continued to read the law every day, and on the eighth day, there was an assembly, according to the ordinance. So you see, there's this public reading of Scripture, a recognition of what God had called them to do, and then an immediate practice of it. And that's what we want to do. That's what we're gathering tonight together to do, is to read Scripture and see, what is God calling us to do? How come I haven't done it yet? Let's do it now, together as a church family. In chapter 9, there came a time of repentance and confession. In chapter 10, there was a renewal of their commitment and a vow of obedience. That's where we want to go as a church family. What God, what do you want us to do? We're in. And so we're inviting you to be with us this evening. We're not in an extreme famine, but we could be more fruitful. We haven't rebuilt the temple or rebuilt the walls, although the new floor looks pretty nice in the old sanctuary. But a time of repentance and renewal is always in order. And so that's what we're inviting you tonight to come to. Not to attempt to manipulate God to do something for us, but just to put ourselves at his feet and say, God, what would you do? So we invite you tonight at 6 o'clock. You saw it in the email. What we want to do is gather, and as many as are here, we could all fit right in here. The green chairs and maybe just across the aisle. So when you come tonight, please plan on coming up close. We want it to be intimate. We'll read scripture from here, not up on the pulpit. We just want to be together in God's word. What is he calling us to? We want to ask God to instruct us, forgive us, restore us, renew us, revive us. And in all of that, we can rejoice because there is joy in pursuing God. There is joy in repentance. Please don't miss being part of that tonight. 6 o'clock this evening, right here. Come ready to hear what God has to say to us as a church family. So we invite you to that tonight. Let's pray, and then the worship team is, I don't know if it's the whole team or just Dane. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that you have in your word laid out some ideas about how we might come before you, how we might surrender ourselves, how we might listen to your word and then act in obedience. Lord, may that be our heart, that we're ready before you even tell us what to do. We'll say yes. Stir our hearts to be obedient servants, obedient and faithful and fruitful ambassadors. Help us to walk in the joy that you give us, even as you take us through times of reflection and repentance. Lord, help us to see the light at the end, the joy as we pass through the perhaps struggles and the stress of repentance, to be before you holy and pure, blameless, forgiven. Lord, we bow before you. In Jesus' name, amen.